I want to continue part two, Luke 18. Luke 18. I'm not going to ask you if you remember last week's message. We don't get anywhere when we start talking like that. So we're going to go back for part two and help to reinforce some things from Luke 18. And this is a pretty powerful passage that has meant a lot to me over the years. And I've been doing some meditating throughout Luke and looking at Jesus' prayer life and what he teaches us about prayer. And Luke 18 is one of those passages where we get some training in praying. Some training in praying, Luke 18. And the scripture says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. What's the parable going to be about? Always praying and not giving up. And so he says to them, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now notice, he didn't fear God and he didn't care about people. He was heartless and godless, this guy. And he was in a position of authority. And then you have pitted against that a widow who was in and of herself defenseless. Didn't have very little influence to sway anyone, let alone to get justice out of this kind of person, a widow. She comes. And notice what it says, she kept coming. And then it says, verse 4, for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God and I don't care about people, yet because this widow keeps what? Bothering me. You see it there? Because she keeps doing what? Bothering me. I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. She's driving me nuts. And then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? If this widow can get justice from this kind of guy, and God, who is all good and righteous and cares immensely for us, we do the same, don't you think he's going to come to our rescue? Wow. But look at what it says. Don't you think God's going to come to answer our prayers? Who cry out to him, what, day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And so I want to continue fiddling around with this passage of Scripture. So we're talking about training and praying. Training in our prayer life. Training and praying. And learning how to bother God, how to be a bother to God when we pray. You ever thought about it in those terms? How to bother God. God, I'm here again. I got to bother you with something. You know? Or, as I've come to think of it, how to improve your unanswered prayer life. How to improve your unanswered prayer life. And so join me in prayer, okay? Fathers, we're here before you, and this is your word. And as we talk together, as I preach and teach this word, I pray that in my voice, your voice would be heard. And God, that we would feel ourselves being nurtured, built up, that something would be happening as a result of your word being spoken into our lives this morning in regards to our unanswered prayer lives. In Christ's name, amen. And so I want to continue to unfold this, okay? And And of course, I got to go back to re-say some things, look at some things that we looked at last week by way of reminder, add a couple of things as well, and help us, all right? So if you don't have an unanswered prayer life, I don't think you have much of a prayer life at all. Unanswered prayers. You remember that I enumerated last week 12 unanswered prayers that I have in my own life going on. Now, it isn't that I can't tell you about answers to prayers that I have gotten and that, you know, Sandra and I have experienced over the years. Incredible answers to prayer. And yet, there are these nagging, unanswered prayers that just don't go away. Right? And like I say, as I was complaining, a week or so ago to the Lord about these unanswered prayers, and I started to, you know, mention, well, Lord, there's this unanswered prayer. By the time I got done, there were 12. And not only were there 12, but some of them I had been praying for 30 years, 40 years. And seemingly, God has been like this unjust judge, just indifferent to my prayers. And so it's like, well, Rulowitz, what are you going to do about it? And so I said, you know, last week as I began this message, you were just sitting in on me speaking to myself to try and help myself to improve my unanswered prayer life. But here we go. We want to continue with this. And so I would dare guess that you could tell me some unanswered prayers that you have going on right now. I would dare to guess. And you've probably also been going at it for a long time. Praying. And why do we have them? Well, life happens and we pray, right? You know the bumper sticker. And we pray, but things get desperate around us. Things unravel. Life has a way of unraveling. And it seems as though life's circumstances are more in control of us than God is, and our relationship with Him, especially when we pray. Seems that these circumstances are out of control, and the more we pray, the more frustrated we become, and life at times feels like we're sliding down a banister with all the splinters going the opposite way, right? And not only that, but it's like there's no end to this banister. And we pray. And when we pray, we keep on sliding down. It seems that way, and we become frustrated about it. And so here we are. What do we do in different times or in difficult times of our lives, the things that we face? We pray, and no answer comes. And then it becomes even more difficult to feel as though we're going to get through and an answer is going to come. So what do you do? What do you do with your unanswered prayers? What do you do in times like that? Do you give up? Even as Jesus said, the reason for telling us this story is that we do hang in there. I think the King James Version says to always pray and not faint. Like it puts it that way, you know, that we don't faint, that we don't come, that we don't become exhausted and just say, that's it, time out, I'm done with this. And I know with me, what happens is that I may become half-hearted in these prayers that don't get answered, don't get answered, don't get answered. It's like, yeah, I'll be dutiful in continuing to pray, but it's like, well, that's all it is just, you know, I'm paying respects to my prayer life. Let's just keep on getting it over with. Oh, yeah, God hears this. And it's just kind of a half-hearted thing, you know. And here's something even worse. And Jamie brought it out, and I think legitimately so last week in her comment. And we see this in the passage. What's worse is that we allow our unanswered prayers to shrink our perception of God and attribute to him a false notion of his readiness to answer our prayers, or we believe things about his character, we come to believe things about his character that just aren't true. I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray, no answer comes, he's not ready to do, he's just not going to do anything about this. Or I begin to think that, well, he's indifferent to my situation. You know, he's got an awful lot to deal with. God does. And he's all, you know, I mean, just take Bill Tucker, for instance. And I mean, he's got a lot to deal with. And we, you know, we start to attach to God an attribute of his character that really isn't true, but we feel that way. He's indifferent to what I'm going through, to what I'm asking. And even worse than that is attributing to God this capricious sovereignty, we'll say, about him. And Jamie brought this out. Well, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do, so I guess I might as well just quit praying. And it creates this distance, this false notion, this false understanding, and we begin to shrink God, and what becomes big? This circumstance that we're praying about, praying against, praying over, whatever it is, from our kids to our jobs to our health to all these things. And it becomes the big thing looming large in our lives, and God is just brought to this minuscule place of, well, he's going to do what he wants to do anyways. And what's bad about that, and it's not my intention, because I got other stuff I want to get at in this message, and I want to get at you this morning in this message. But I do want to say this, when it comes to prayer, he's not like that at all. He's not going to do what he wants to do. He's going to do what we ask him to do. He's going to do what we seek him to do. He's going to do what we pray to him to do. Why? Because he has invited us to participate with him in bringing about his goodwill and his good purposes for our lives by praying. Now, come on, now you got to get that. John Wesley said, God will do nothing but in answer to our prayers. God will do nothing but in answer to our prayers. And so he has invited us into cooperating with him by praying to see his will done in our lives. And it comes to answering prayer. Well, why don't these unanswered prayers get answered? Well, here we are. We want to talk about that. And remember that we said a few things last week, training and praying, of from the story, lifting from this story, what's going on? What can go on in this area of our unanswered prayer lives? And I think I mentioned three or four things that we can do to improve our unanswered prayer life. The first is what she did. You know, she brought her request to someone who could do something about it, period. And so when we pray, we are looking at God and not at the situation that we're facing. We're going to him because he can do something about what we're giving him to do. He can do something about it. I'm bringing it to him. And the size of my prayer request is never bigger than the size of my God. He's always bigger. So I'm bringing it to him. She brought it to this judge. Yes, he was godless and heartless, but he was the one in authority to give her request. And so she brought it to him. And we have to see, he said, let your request be made known unto God, Paul says in Philippians. Let your request be made known unto God. Bring it to him. God, I'm bringing this to you. And then we see that she prayed in desperation. Instead of allowing the unanswered prayer to put you off, let it make you more desperate to get a hold on God for what you need. And that's what she did. She was not put off by this guy. She became more desperate to make her cry heard. The next thing we see is that we have to pray like pray like you're the squeaky wheel, right? Pray like you're the squeaky wheel. And I love what it says here, that she kept coming. She kept coming with the request. And you say, well, it's been, I mean, listen, if I had my way, it'd be 3 days, done deal. And it's like, come on, God, cooperate. At least with one of these 12, God, come on. 3 days. Okay, God, a week. I'll give you a week, And the thing is that happens to us is that with the passage of time, we become more deflated. And the idea is that, man, I got a squeaky wheel of unanswered prayer going on here. What am I going to do about it? Oh, allow that wheel to keep on squeaking. Keep going. Keep coming. I'm bothering you. God, it's me again, remember? God, it's Bob, and I got this request. I know I mentioned it to you yesterday, but God, I'm here to bring it before you again today. And I just want you to know, by the way, God, it's like the dog at the mailman's heel. You ever remember those, he latches on, And I mean, you just can't shake him. God, I'm latching on to you with this request, and I'm not going to be denied. Now, the trick is, after a year, that you keep on bothering him. After 5 years, you keep on bothering him. After 10, I'm telling you, I as I said, I have some requests, and we have some requests, but 30, 40 years. And my heart is, God, I'm bringing this before you yet again. I'm going to be the biggest bother, the biggest pain in your neck. And you can imagine with this. He's a bother. He said, listen to what this guy, Jesus says, listen to what he says. And he says, if you're like that, don't you think God is going to respond quickly? Now, God's quickly and our quickly are two different things. Have you learned that yet? We'll talk about that in a moment. And then the last one is to pray in faith. Even as he says, the context of this, in speaking of this passage, is a context of, bad things happening. In that things get difficult. And when things get difficult, is faith going to remain? And so we pray in faith. We pray in faith. And I interpret that in this situation, praying in faith, is that I pray through the temptation to give up. Period. I just pray through that temptation. You see, even though my feelings mitigate against it, I'm going to pray through it. Now, old habits die hard with all of us. And this old habit of mine, as you know, where I've cut my 7 points to 3, yea, verily 4, but I've had to add a couple more, okay? Because this is part 2. So I wanted to add a couple of more. And still asking the question, how do I improve my unanswered prayer life? And so let me give you 3, yea, verily 4 more points to this, okay? And they all to help us to remember, which I know you will, start with the letter D. Here's the first D, all right? How do I improve? How do I continue to improve? Now, some of this, these things, I'm just saying what I already said, and maybe in a little bit different twist, a little different nuance to help it to sink in to our lives all that much more, to help us with our unanswered prayers, okay? But a little bit of a twist and something new. Here's the first one. Accept that God has a purpose in the delay to your prayer. Accept that he has a purpose. This is the way I like to look at it. I look at it, I want to train myself to look at it, that the delay is the answer. Sort of. Okay? So that I can see that, wow, okay, I've been praying for this thing. There's delay. Boy, you know what? Maybe God is in on that delay. He's in on the delay. Remember, Melody brought it out in her message from flight on the Hudson or landing at Sully, right? A delay is better than a disaster. And he's got a purpose in the delays, that if he were to answer that prayer, you know, 3 days from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, that it would not fulfill his good purpose in our life, but in fact could be disastrous. Are you ready to accept that as a possibility? It encourages me. You understand? It encourages me. It helps me because it's like, well, maybe instead of 12 unanswered prayers, I have several of those that are just on delay, and the delay is the answer. So maybe I only have 6 unanswered prayers. It's getting better already. Don't you just feel encouraged, you know? Here's the next one, all right? Here's the next D. Allow yourself, and this is a big one, allow yourself to find a delight, in your relationship with Jesus above him doing something for you. We sang about it this morning. I delight myself in you. The psalmist said, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall what? Give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourselves in the Lord. And so we have to see that maybe the prize in my praying has more to do with my relationship with him than getting the answer to that prayer. That's big. That there's something in the way in which he's working through in my prayer life, that I'm praying about this thing. The answer doesn't come. That he's working in my life by that, something that otherwise would never happen. And there's a delight in him that I'm coming to in my relationship with Jesus that he's working out through that unanswered prayer. I mean, that's big. I think it is. Doing a good job, Bob. Here's the third one. You ready? Here's the third one. This is awfully difficult to do. When I pray, just let me lead up to it. When I pray, I have certain expectations. Now, I have expectations of how I understand the situation that I'm praying about that leads me to pray about it the way I'm praying for it. Okay? You know, I see a situation. Well, this needs to happen. That needs to happen. And so I bring into my prayer life my expectations, let alone, God, you know, if you don't do this right now, we're going under. Timing, right? And I have to learn to separate my expectations, what I expect from God, and what God wants to do without my help. I have to disconnect myself from my expectations to realize he's got a whole set of expectations for my life that I'm not even aware of. What did Isaiah say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. as high as the heavens are above the earth, so much further are my ways and my thoughts than yours. If I were God of my life, I would never make myself hurt the way I do sometimes through painful experiences. At least the pain wouldn't last very long. And so that's the third one. To separate so that there is a disconnect from my expectations that I might learn what God expects in this. Lord, you know, did you ever ask yourself this question? And this goes into this point right here. That thing that I'm praying about for a long time, Lord, what am I missing here? God, what are you after in this? God, what do you want in this? And what do you want to bring my want up to in this for this answer in prayer? Here's the last one. All right? Here's the last one. And the last one is something I've already said, but I think that it needs to be said again, and we really need to get on this trail. And that is, turn the desire into a desperation. Turn the desire that you're bringing to the Lord. See, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them, believe that you have them, and they'll be yours. And so I have this desire for this answered prayer. And what this parable teaches us is that over time, the desire goes away, does it not? Over time, the desire goes away because we're just defeated by no answer coming. And that's the time, the crucial time, when a transition needs to be made from desire to desperation. This woman was desperate to get what she needed. She was desperate to get what she needed. And it had to be her continual coming. It was like, you wake up and say, I'm gonna make my approach to his office today, bang on his door, get to all the right people, and denied. Surely her desire had to wane, but she was desperate. She was desperate to get what she needed. And I think that there has to be that kind of thing that goes on with us in our praying. I'm desperate. The desires I have for these answered prayers have done something within me that I got to have it. I got to have this desperation that I'm going to keep on bothering God. That I'm going to reimagine my prayer life into, I'm going now to bother God. I'm going to change my devotional life, the whole way that I think about it, to, this is my bothering God time. I'm going to go bother him now. You're bothering me, boy. You're bothering me. That's what I'm after. You know who I'm speaking of, right? Foghorn, Leghorn. But anyways, you're bothering me, boy. Oh, what wonderful words to hear from God. You're bothering me. Well, God, that's my point, to bother you. And so how to improve your unanswered prayer life? You got any unanswered prayers you've been praying? Let's apply these things to it. Heaven knows I need to. I need to apply these things to it. And the biggest thing that I'm aware of when I pray in faith, when I pray by faith, is that it's a struggle. We call it wrestling in prayer. And a lot of times it doesn't feel good. The struggle doesn't feel good. But I keep on praying by faith. Let's stand together in his presence. Amen. How many of you have three unanswered prayers that you know of? Three unanswered prayers. Anybody got three unanswered prayers? Do I hear three? Three? Anybody got three? Anybody got four? Do I hear four? Anybody got 10 unanswered prayers? Do I hear 10? You know? And as I said, if you don't, I would question your prayer life, your relationship with Jesus. And so there it is. I hope you're helped by this today. Time will tell how helped I am. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. And God, in all seriousness, I present this word to your people that we see you as good, as just, as our Heavenly Father. You're not reluctant. You don't stand idly by. You're not indifferent. You're not whimsical and some kind of guy who gets his jollies out of putting us off. But Lord, you are ever so anxious to answer our prayers. And I pray that that would fill our imaginations, that that would inspire our faith, and that would cause us to pray and not give up. I pray in Christ's name. Bless your people, Lord. Amen. God bless you guys.